Well, I love our prayer times and our discussions and things that we look at before, I say before we start Bible study, but I think that's all part of our Bible study. I really do. I think when we get together and we talk about these things that are on our hearts and the things that we're seeing, the evil of the day and the righteousness within us, I do believe that is Bible study. I really do. You got something, buddy? No? All right. And so, and in that, we've been looking at truth, practical Christianity. What is truth? And we've been going through Jesus, the way, the truth, and life. No man gets to the Father but through him, right? And we look at the things that were asked. Pontius Pilate looking truth right in the face and saying, face, and saying, what is truth? Instead of saying, who is truth? Knowing that, he didn't know. We know that truth was speaking with him at that very moment, right? And having our hearts and our minds open to that. We've gone through several of these. John 16:13 talks about the spirit of truth. If we're not going to be deceived in these last days, and the prayer request that came up that we need wisdom and understanding, to get wisdom and understanding, you've got to know what truth is. The church in our time, what we're looking at right now, we need a firm foundation that cannot be moved. We know that the foundation is right over here. It's the Word of God, right? And God's building a building that the gates of hell will not prevail against. So these two tie hand in hand. And today, as we get into the beginning of Ephesians, or this understanding, gird yourself with truth, first part of the armor of God. As I was looking into the armor of God today, this morning, and I scanned over it. You know, sometimes you just, well, I'm just going to do the regular thing, right? We'll go through Ephesians chapter 6, 30 minutes, nothing to it, right? Bam. And then I really started looking at it. I said, no, this is way more. This is way more than just these implements that we put on. And we're going to look at that today. I came up with over 30 practical things for the armor, for putting on. And we'll just call it putting on. Not like faking, but putting on. Practical circumstances in putting on Christ. Putting on the gospel. And so we're going to look at that. I don't know how long it's going to take. But as it's boiling in the back of my head, it may take a little while, because this is more than just those pieces that we look at. And we say, we put them on with prayer. Well, wait a second. There's a practical way to do this. We're going to talk about the practicality of the armor of God and putting on Jesus Christ and putting on the new man over the next time. I don't know how long it's going to take, but we'll get into all those things as it unfolds. And so let's go to the Lord and just thank him for the time. Father, we're grateful. We love you. We praise you. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would open up our understanding, Father, that you would help us to come together underneath the authority and the power and the might of the Most High God, being directed by your Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, to make our conversation, our questions, Father, our seeking, Lord, that we would seek wisdom and find it only in you. Lord, help us to really understand what it means to put on the new man in Christ Jesus. Lord, and we thank you, and we praise you for that. And we ask for leadership, leading by the Holy Spirit in these things. In Jesus' name, amen. And so we all know where this is. It's Ephesians chapter 6, and it starts out in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand ye therefore, having your loins girt with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with the perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And as for me, that may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. All right? That's what I was really planning on teaching on today. Bam, simple, right? It's simple. Put it on. Okay, how do you do it? When I got my clothes out yesterday to get dressed to put on these clothes today, I got this last night. I picked out my tie. I picked out my pants and my shirt. Not in that order. I pick out pants and shirt and then tie, you know. And I pick those things out and I prepare them, right? And I hang them up in a spot and I get prepared before I put them on. And I try not to get dressed in the dark because it's really hard to tie your tie in the dark. And you might put your pants on backwards. You never know. Now, it's hard to zip up, but yes, you know. If you're not paying attention, if you're not doing these things purposely, then you can put them on incorrectly. Have you ever put on your socks inside out? You're wearing socks, but you weren't wearing them right. Right? You put on your underoos the wrong way. I'm making it as simple. I'm bringing the cookies down to the bottom shelf so we can understand it. Right? Have you ever brushed your teeth with something you thought was toothpaste and it wasn't? Yeah, done that, right? Why? Because I wasn't prepared to put things on right. So the preparation of putting on the armor of God is a lot more than what we were taught in our seminary teachings, right? Just pray and believe and it'll happen. No, it has to be purposeful. You have to do these things purposeful. And it's not something that that just happens, right? The clothes in my closet just didn't jump out and fall onto me. I had to make a plan. I had to adjust my life to what I'm going to do before you do it. And that, I heard this the other day. To have a goal without a plan is just a whoosh, a wish. Whoosh. Down south we say whoosh. But up here is a wish, right? To have a goal to get somewhere without a plan on how to get somewhere, you're just wishing. You've got to have a practical understanding about where you are and how to get to where you're going, right? When you take a road trip, don't we look at a map?
Yeah, but I've got a question before that.
Yes.
Because I'm looking down, I've got commentaries on the bottom of my Bible.
Yep, yep.
Okay? And it's 6:11 and 6:12. And I'm thinking to myself, 6:10. Yep.
Yeah, wait, come on.
Yep. If we're not strong in the Lord, how are you going to put on the full armor of God?
Thank you.
Okay?
6:10's the key.
It is.
6:10's the key because you can't arm yourself. That word right there. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord. And the power, that word power is a Holy Spirit
yes.
word. That word, you can't arm yourself unless you have the Holy Ghost in you first.
Yes.
And you need to have the Holy Ghost. So this takes me to 2 Corinthians 10.
Come on. Good spot.
4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty, through God, pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself above the knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Holy Spirit.
That's the Holy Spirit word.
Of
yeah.
God bringeth into captivity every thought and obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So before you can even put this armor on, you need the Holy Ghost in you.
Yes. And you need to be obedient. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. So the first one is, finally, we'd have to go back and read the rest of Ephesians to get to this. But that's a homework thing, all right? To be strong in the Lord. If I were to try to become a bodybuilder or a runner or something, I would have to strengthen those parts of my body, muscle memory, things like that. To be strong in the Lord is like that. It's a muscle you've got to work out. And who here has ever went to the gym and worked out a little bit? Doesn't it hurt you? You go out and you work in the yard. You haven't worked in the yard for a long time. And you use muscles that you don't normally use. It makes you sore. When we try to get strong in the Lord, expect a soreness to come up with it. Because as we trust God, walk by faith, we're going to figure out how frail and insignificant we are. And that's going to hurt your ego.
Submit yourself.
There you go.
Therefore to God.
Yeah.
And you can resist the devil.
Amen. Right?
And he yes.
And when you submit yourself, that's when the Holy Spirit yes. comes in and dwells mm-hmm. you. It says the power of
his might.
Not your might.
Amen.
His might.
His might.
His Holy Spirit on you.
And so, that's what I was just about to say. Too many people try to put on the armor of God yeah, and they don't respect so his might.
Thank yeah,
right.
you.
That's right.
So how do you do that? In practicality, you'll wake up in the morning. His mercy is new every morning. So you wake up in the morning. What is the first thing you do?
Should.
All right. Should. All right. I agree. What does praying first thing in the morning require? Starts with D and ends in discipline.
Discipline.
That was a tough one. I was going with
dedication.
Dedication.
You'll
yes, dedication.
Determination.
Right? Yeah, praise God.
And wisdom.
And wisdom.
Yep.
So in the morning, when I rise, what I normally do is throw my feet out of bed, throw on some clothes real quick, and I come over here. Right? I'll be honest with you. When my eyes pop open at 4 o'clock in the morning, chances are prayer is not the first thing on my mind, right? My mind is I need to get over here because this is where I do my stuff. Well, I think God really wants to meet me over there before my feet hit the floor. Amen. And I'm guilty of this, so I'm not saying that I've made it. I'm saying as I went into understanding, putting on the armor of God, the first thing needs to happen is discipline.
Yeah.
Right? Go ahead.
And even beyond discipline is gratitude.
Thank you.
As we walk in Christ, we recognize that the air in our lungs is a gift from God. So if we get to that, then when we wake up in the morning, it's praise you, God.
Right.
I got through another night, I have another day.
Yeah.
Amen.
I have another hour.
Yeah.
Well, you've got your discipline has gotten you into a routine.
Yes.
Where you said, okay, I'm not going to pray as soon as I get out of bed, but I'm going to go and start my day by praying.
Right.
Coming here.
Yeah.
So you get that discipline has caused a routine in your life.
Yes.
It's just like waking up.
Well, what's the problem with routines? They become ordinary. And if God wants to do something extraordinary in your life and you have a routine that I can't break, then you might miss God. Because God's saying, I want to do something completely out of the ordinary in your life today. Well, God, I've got a routine. I've got to do this first before I can do that. And God's saying, no, you need to do this before that even comes up. Regardless of what this and that is.
I've often wondered how many people wake up in the middle of the night. Amen. Wake up early.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking of the young Samuel. And God called him.
Right.
Samuel.
Yeah.
He didn't know. And David says, I rose at midnight
mm-hmm.
and prayed.
Yeah.
So I just wonder how many times that in of itself could be God saying, Kevin, get up.
Amen.
And
I agree with that, Kevin. That's so important. Go ahead, Alan.
That's my testimony.
Yeah.
I took a sonship course, and in the middle of it, they said, how do you find time to spend with God daily? And the first thing that came to my mind was, how do you see a doctor, an attorney, or anybody else? You make an appointment.
Yeah.
I said, Lord, I'm here. You set the time, I'll be there.
Yeah.
3 o'clock in the morning, the next morning, I'm looking at the ceiling. I go, wonder what this is all about. I'm wide awake.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, God says, you're going to read my word? No, I'm not doing that. So well, I read a couple of verses and yeah. prayed a little bit and rolled over.
So maybe I'm insomnia.
It's been 17 years now.
Yeah.
17 years at 3 to 4 o'clock in the morning, he wakes me up. I start reading.
Yep.
I spend my time with God. I'm the lazy one though. I don't actually get out of bed. All right. And afterwards, I roll over and take a quick 15-minute nap and start my day.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yep. So, yeah, I think there's many that God calls and says, hey, this is when I need you.
And so we're not even able to put on the armor of God or even start about it because we're not listening to the power of his might. Right? Because it starts out with this first thing, your first reaction. Well, your first reaction to anything is really how your heart is. You know, your first reaction to getting up, that's what your heart is, the next thing you do. Sometimes it's a biological thing. You get up and you're either going to wet the bed or you're going to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Right? So, because there is some real physical stuff that goes on, you know. I hated to be so crude about that, sort of.
As you get older.
Yeah, as you get older. Said, yeah, you didn't mean to not be crude. You're crude by nature. to build, like Alan talked about, he talked to the Lord. He said, I want to be in your presence wherever you are. That's where I want to be. And God said, all right, I'm going to test you in that. Normally, when you're cutting logs, right, and you're just really sound in your sleep, 3 o'clock in the morning is a great time for sleep. And God wakes you up. And you lay in your bed, well, geez, I can't go back to sleep. What do I need to do? Force you. Yeah, come on.
I mean, what if all that insomniac...
Come on with that.
What if God is going...
Yeah.
Speak. I want to talk to you.
Well, I want to talk to you.
And the same thing was with my daughter as she was an infant. It was one thing to feed her during the day. The telephone's ringing. Somebody wants a root cut. Wife's going, hey, you're holding the kid wrong, or you time to do... 4 o'clock was hers and my time.
Right.
I talked to her.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I fed her.
Yep.
You know what? You stay in bed. I got this.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right? This is my time to bond with my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's the sweetest time.
By the way, at 3 o'clock in the morning, when God calls, nobody else is calling me saying, hey, I got a root leak.
Yeah. Right.
This is our time.
Yeah, we should come and patch this for me or whatever. So... those early morning times spent with God. I was going to talk about that because when I had little kids, when they're little, before I abandoned them and left, when they're little bitty, getting them up and feeding them, the early morning feeding time was my time.
Yeah.
You know, because after that I had to get up, go to work, all that kind of stuff. But that 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, getting up, and it was fantastic. It was fantastic. It was the best time for me and my boy. That's why I stuck one of my kids up in the ceiling fan. It was 4 o'clock in the morning. We fed. I burped him, all that kind of stuff. I was playing with him, chunked him in the air. Ceiling fan was going on. Whack! That was Jacob. You know? And so that woke up my wife. Yeah. She comes in, there's red mark across the forehead.
He does
it. No, he doesn't. So, but those were the best times for me and my boys was that early morning giggling, playing, you know, change the diaper, all that kind of stuff. And we did cloth diapers, right? We was before Pampers were out, but we were too poor to have Pampers, right? So, and they were horrible. That's a different story. Start your morning with prayer, and I put in the word. All right. How is it a pattern of our life to pray the scriptures? Do you know that you can pray the scriptures? The book of Psalms is really a book of prayer. It put to music. But have we ever, about putting on the armor of God, the wholeness of God, putting him on, putting his word on, right? Prayer. Meditating on scripture, memorizing scripture. This is all the beginning. This is the beginning of your discipline. Jesus said, if you do not love me more than your mother, your father, your brothers, sisters, and yes, even your own life, you can't be my student, my disciple. Discipline, disciple, discipline. To put him as Alpha, the very first of everything, I think is one of the key things in understanding the armor of God before you put it on. You make a plan for it. You set a time for it. Or actually, God sets the time for it. You know. And then when you have a time for God, everything else from that point seems to have more organization. It seems to run smoother in my personal life. If I wake up and the first of my thoughts are about God, the first of my thoughts are the Word of God, those type of things, and the rest of my day seems to manage, right? If
I do notice that when I'm praying, that verses do come to my mind.
Yes.
You know, things that have been put in there.
Yeah.
It's like the situation you're praying for, the verses seem to come to my mind.
Amen.
And even not just verses, but songs, hymns.
Yeah.
Yes.
I can't tell you how many times different hymns will come to my mind at different moments when I wake up in the morning or when I start to pray.
Yeah. And we're supposed to speak with songs.
Yeah.
And spiritual songs, right? We're hymns. We're supposed to do those things.
Yeah.
I think God is honored in our froggy voice first thing in the morning before the Colgate or toothpaste is in your mouth. And you actually meditate and you think about God, about His glory, about His majesty, the book of Psalms. I try to read at least two or three Psalms every day before I get into any what I call serious Bible study, like putting on the armor of God. That's a serious Bible study. But you take a few psalms, and you sit down, and you read them, and you think about them. I was in Psalm 127 today. Unless the Lord build the house, the man who labors, labors in vain. This, and I guess God brought that to my heart this morning, or today, or it was in the rotation, right? Because yesterday at the wedding, and the re-wedding, a fellow that I was talking to, he says, how's the church building? How's it going, right? I was talking to the contractor guy.
Ken.
Yeah, I can't call his name.
Ken.
So I was talking to him. We're having good conversation. His business, how he's handing it off to his son and stuff like that. And he says, well, how's the building of the church? I said, well, I guess it's okay. You know, we're not getting more in numbers. That's what he's asking about, his numbers. I said, we really don't keep track of that. And so it's about the same that it always has been, about 30. And then as I woke up this morning, that just was kind of gnawing on me. And I was praying about it before I started reading about it. And then I opened up my Bible. My next reading is Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, the man who labors, labors in vain. So it's not about me building the church,
right?
God's got to build the church. He's the one who makes, in business, floor covering, it's your advertisement, it's your location, it's the way that you do things, and your reputation, all that kind of stuff builds your business. But when you're working on God's economy and His armament, you know, with the belt of truth, being girt with truth, you realize that you're not building the church.
Amen.
It's not about me or us, it's about God. God calls people. You don't. All that. Think of the years that we went, Deb, knocking on doors in Caledonia and all that kind of stuff, and how just agitated it made people. You knock on someone's door, can I tell you about Charity Bible Church? No.
If the answer,
they sick the dog on you, you know? And it's, I think they would have done that to anybody. It didn't have to be us. JW's probably did the same thing to them. You know, but they just didn't, it's not the right way to do it. The way you build the church is through prayer, all right? Having truth girt around you as a belt. Go ahead.
And I think about that song, I think it's 5, the one that I had sung, give
ear
to thy words, O Lord, my words, O Lord, consider my meditation, hearken to the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning.
Amen.
O God,
in the morning.
O Lord, in the morning, may I direct my prayers unto thee and will look up. Because if you start your day there, and so the psalm itself tells us, first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
First thing in the morning.
Go ahead, Alan, you had something?
You were talking about the verse that you came with. That comes right back to 6:10 again.
Yeah. Amen. It
recognizing
does.
Recognizing His might, His power. Yeah. And again, we seem to skip over that.
Yeah.
Amen. You can do nothing without Him.
Right.
Amen.
It's brutal.
If Jesus could do nothing without the Father,
that's right.
He says, I do nothing of my own. What I see, or what I see the Father do, that's what I do. I paraphrase that wrong. But anyhow, so it's the power of His might. It's the first thing in the morning. It ought to be, if we are really and truly the church, the called out ones, That's who you want to talk to more than anyone else in the day. That's the first one you want to talk to.
This is the most important thing.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
You can't, I mean, you've set the bar as high as it can go.
Yes.
Everything else falls in line.
Everything, yeah.
Start with the most important thing in your life.
Right.
God.
And when, go ahead, my brother Kevin.
Well, we woke up early to feed our children, and maybe that's a little bit what's going on. First thing in the morning, spiritually being fed.
Amen.
He's feeding us.
Wow. Thing, I love that. Because I never thought about it. We, you know, our kids wake us up 4 o'clock in the morning for that early morning feeding, diaper change, stuff like that. Well, maybe that's what God's doing to us or wanting us to do, to wake up and cry to Him early in the morning.
That is good.
That is
good. Seek His presence, not just I want to be obedient. Obedience is vital.
Yeah.
But His desire, I believe, is for us to say, get to spend this time with Him. And it's precious time, and I'm so grateful.
And this putting on, Romans 13:14 says, put on Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Again,
He's
like we're talking. He is the armor. He is the armor. So, but to put Him on, what does that, what do you, how? How?
His words.
His words? Meditation?
Yeah.
You have to take something off before you
come on now.
So what are you
cast off the old man, right? And his deeds.
Confess your sins.
Yeah.
Confess your heart.
And so in those things, there, I guess what was really put on my heart right with this portion of it is being deliberate. I think really that's what it is. You got to be deliberate. Because God's there. Go ahead, Alan.
You said Romans 14.
13:14, yeah.
Right, 13:14, and you said you have to take something off. Well, 13:13 says, let us walk honestly as in the day, not rioting and drunkenness and chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying.
Yeah.
But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision
for the flesh,
to fulfill the lust of thereof.
Yeah.
So you have to take it off in order to put it on.
Yeah. And he goes on, actually, it's from 9 all the way through 14. You know, part of putting on Christ, love worketh no ill. This is verse 10 to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And that knowing the time that is now nigh, I'm reading it wrong. My eyes are playing tricks on me. And that knowing the time that now it is high time to awaken out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness and chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Armor's mentioned there. Light's mentioned there. Purpose is spoken of in that whole... You've got to have purpose. You don't put on the armor of God, the light of God, the person of Jesus Christ, by accident. By flippantly going through Ephesians chapter 6 and praying, Lord, give me the belt of truth. Give me the shield of faith. No, you have got to take these things up. And like, so I got things in both my hands. I can't grab a hold of anything else until I let something go.
Amen.
If we have our lives, our time filled with all of these things, I know I have the Bible in my notes, right? They aren't bad. But to pick up anything else, I got to put these down, right? And now I got two worthless pieces of wood. Right? Most of our lives, we got this in our hands. Worthless stuff. Things that will not amount to any spiritual growth. Just the things of this life. But...
You got a cling free in the back of your neck.
Yes, I do. I have a rash. When I was setting the fire the other night, I caught my head on fire.
And, keep looking at it. I'm having trouble focusing on it.
I'm sorry.
I never noticed it.
Put on the napkin of God.
We're going to let you preach.
Yeah.
I was going to do something before that.
So the reason I have it on is I was lighting the fire, and the wind was up, and it was blowing, and the grass was catching on fire. And so I got down with a rake, and I was doing it, and it burned my face, my hair, you know. And so my hair is much shorter on this side today than what it was the other day because it fried off.
New barber.
Yeah. Fires of hell burned me. But anyhow, so I got a raw spot on my neck. You know, so I have a napkin there just to, it didn't bother me until I put on a tie.
It was bothering me.
Yeah, you know. And so, but anyhow, thank you for letting me know that. And we got this all recorded now. It's beautiful. But in those things, being purposeful to put on Jesus Christ, being purposeful to take off the things we know that are iniquity that separate us from God. It's not something that's done flippantly.
It's a deliberate action.
It's
your role. Like we say all the time, sovereignty of God and man's choice.
Yeah.
It's your role.
That's right. In verse 13 it says, wherefore, take unto you.
Yeah.
Take unto you. It's a deliberate action.
Yeah. You've got to, it's there, it's available, but you've got to take it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Go ahead, right. Kevin. Two.
Well, I'd say a reminder of that is that armor is uncomfortable. It's against your flesh. The breastplate is a heavy thing.
Yeah.
It conforms you to the image. If you're out of the image of God, you're not going to fit into the breastplate.
Yes.
You're out of shape.
Yeah. Amen.
You gird yourself. Think of a girdle. You got to suck that gut in.
Sure do. And it's better if you ain't got to suck your gut in if you're in shape.
Yeah.
If you're in shape, you ain't got to suck the gut in. It just fits.
Right.
Right? But when you're fat and lazy, like most of Christians in America are, we're fat and lazy. We really don't try to understand the Word of God. We simply just read it verbatim instead of meditating and digesting it. Go ahead, Kevin.
Like I'm thinking the belt of truth probably has one hole in it.
Yeah, amen.
It don't expand and
It only has one hole in it. I like that. Yeah.
But, you know, once again, I think like you guys are saying, you and Kevin, is you have to do this.
Yes.
Yeah. This destroys Calvinism.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do this.
Yeah.
Your choice to do this.
It's a stand, therefore.
Stand, yeah.
Stand. It's a commandment.
Yes.
Stand.
Mm-hmm. So in that standing...
Yep.
Right? What does stand mean? Does it mean run around like a chicken with your head cut off, worried about everything? Stand. Stand still.
I also think it means make a stand.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Make a stand.
Yes.
Righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When somebody tells you there's more than two genders, I'm making a stand.
Right.
No, there isn't.
Correct. In my personal life, when Egypt was coming against Israel at the sea, right? They had the Red Sea on one side and the armies of Egypt. And Moses said, stand still and see the power of God.
Yeah.
All right? Stand still. When it looks like the whole world is falling apart, stand still. Right? Make a stand. Trust God. He's going to do something astronomical here in just a second. Right? And when he does, we will see the seas part. I don't know how God does this stuff. I cannot imagine because the scripture says that God blew with a nostril. He did a farmer's knot. Right? And he separated the sea.
Without faith, it's impossible to please him.
Thank you.
It has to be.
It has to be.
It isn't going to happen if it's not by faith.
Yeah. You cannot do these things in and of your own. That's why I say, by the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against what?
The wiles of the devil.
We were just in 1 Peter and men's group, and it talked to, I might be reading ahead for myself, but our enemy, the devil, is going about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The wiles of the devil. And see, we can't run around when that happens. When he comes against us, when he comes in like a flood, you don't run away from it. You don't get afraid of it. You raise up a standard against it. Right? He comes in like a flood, and we raise up a standard, the standard of Jesus Christ, against the wiles of the devil. But again, this has got to be purposeful.
Well, that's why we also have to be reminded.
Yeah.
We read this, and you go, listen, we just saw the walls of water go up. We walked across on dry land. Now we get to the promised land, and he brought us here to die.
Yeah.
What's that all about?
Right.
And you look at it, we say, well, how can you see all this and still not see God's might?
Right.
And then tomorrow you walk out the door and somebody says something bad about you, and you go, oh, I just can't take this. How do you, you know?
Yeah.
And goes, isn't God still raising water?
Yeah. Amen.
Isn't he still helping you fight against the giants?
Of falling away because they saw the miracles.
Yeah.
And that didn't save them.
No.
And they turned from it.
All right, in that whole scenario, imagine every day you had to live by faith. Every day. You're in the middle of the desert. There is no food. So God sends manna, which, as we know, is translated into what is it? That's what manna means. It's what is it? And it was like dew on the ground. I got up this morning. I walked over here. I got dew on my shoes. It was wet. I didn't think about eating it. But you could pick this stuff up every morning. What was needed, you could actually pick up more, but it wouldn't last through the day, except on the sixth day, would last through the seventh day. You could pick up a double portion.
But there are people today that are living exactly like that.
Yes.
They don't know where their next meal is coming
Amen.
From. Amen. They don't know what next week's meal is, where they're coming from. And there are people, brothers and sisters today, that are living just like that, hoping their children survive, hoping they survive to take care of them. Yeah.
But God's
defining word for wiles is
tricked
by deception.
Yes. Wile the coyote.
Yeah.
You know? Roadrunner, the coyote's after you. Right? And all of us are old enough to remember that, right? So the younger folks wouldn't get it. That's why we only have old people in our Sunday schools.
One of the tricks of the Wile E. Coyote was painting a road into a
wall. Into a brick wall. Right.
Yeah.
And that kind of is one of the wiles of the devil.
He makes it look progress. I love that.
It's
makes it look like it's something, and there's nothing there. Remember he had the hole that he could throw out on the ground?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Those are the tricks, the snares, the trickery of our enemy.
Well, Kevin just said it. This is one of the things that you constantly hear from Jesus tell his children.
Yeah.
Be not deceived.
Yes.
The wiles. Don't be... just because it looks like me, it's not me.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
And so before we even get to the girding yourself with the belt of truth, we need to open up our eyes. We need to trust in the power of the might of God. We need to start looking with a determinate passion to follow the Lord. Love the Lord your God with all of your strength, all your might, all of your mind, everything that's in you. Love him the most. And when I say those things, I've got to ask myself, am I doing it? And could I love God more? Why isn't God using me like God used Moses? I don't think I loved him like Moses loved him.
Right.
And that's hard to stand up here and say. Go ahead, Alan.
I'm noticing that the closer that you get to God, the more you're noticing the sin that's in your life.
Amen, yeah.
And if further I feel that I'm walking away from God.
Yeah.
And just, what more?
Yeah.
How come, Father?
Yeah.
It's like Paul in Romans 7. Oh, wicked man that I am. Paul said that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who shall deliver me from this body of death?
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
And so, and Tom said it a lot. I don't feel like I've done enough.
Yeah, right.
Right? And, way back when I was just a simple teacher at Open Door Men's Group and stuff like that, and deacon, and mowing the lawn, taking care of this, taking care of that, doing whatever the church needed, I'd come home all the time and say, honey, this ain't, I'm not doing anything.
Yeah.
I'm not doing anything. Because that was my true call.
And we're not ignorant of, you're not saved by works, but there's just something inside of you saying,
yes.
There's more, I'm not doing enough.
Yeah. Yeah. And I hope that this book thing I've been praying about that. Lord, lay that on my heart a long time for you.
Thank you.
You know, that you need to take the thing you need and set it down on paper.
I'm starting that when I get home after my nap.
Yeah.
You got to be fresh.
You got to be fresh. You know, but I and you can use that as a catalyst because he has all the arguments on their side in his book.
Yep.
As you never let your enemy see all of your treasures.
But can I challenge you on one thing? When you read it, ask the Spirit if there's anything he's saying that you might have been wrong. And I say that with all due respect because all of us, we have what we believe is the right thing.
Oh, yeah.
And if we're not open to have somebody else challenge, I've been challenged many times by unsaved people.
Yeah. Oh.
It's like, man, I was wrong.
Those are
that.
The best ones.
Well, yeah. And the thing is, where we're coming from is we did believe that.
Right. Amen.
Until God opened up the eyes by this.
Right. And so, in those things, finally, to be strong in the Lord. And I think that's really where we're at right now. So far, we've talked about an hour about being strong in the Lord. To be strong in the Lord, you have got to exercise with the weights, with the equipment that God gives you. Right? One, and we talked about it, is prayer. Right? Waking up first thing in the morning. If Joshua's wife, what's her name? Christy. Right? She's a runner. Right? And when she wakes up and she's going to go for a run, first thing she does is she stretches. She puts on the right clothes. She stretches. She gets ready before she goes out on the run so that she gets the right food and all that kind of stuff in her body that she'll be able to meet the stress of the run. If we're going to walk as light in the times of darkness, like it told us in Romans 13, the time is nigh that we wake up out of our slumber. Right? It's time that the church wake up, get prepared, you know, and we need to be ready to fight this fight. We keep praying for wisdom and faith and truth, right? Here in this body. These are the days. And it's time that we, as the people of Christ, start depending on the power and the might of God and not the power and the might of my personal knowledge. The only way that I can do that, as we've talked about from James, I've got to humble myself before the Lord.
I always get it wrong.
Amen. Hey, Dave.
Always.
God bless you.
I never fails.
Yeah.
I got it wrong. I blew it again.
Yeah. And how often does that happen in our lives? In my life, daily. When I think I know it, that's when I know I don't. Amen. When I think I'm right, I could almost guarantee you I'm wrong. You know, and so coming to the Lord with humility, unless you're speaking the oracles of God, that's why you need to make sure you got the right oracle, because there's a lot of word out there that isn't God, right?
Well, and a lot of people like to put their emphasis on it.
Yes.
Okay? And I find that it's better, and it's even better for me to learn when somebody asks me, what's this say?
Yeah.
I'm sending stuff back and forth. There's a fella who disputes Islam, and there was a fellow last night who just puts a lot of stuff on, and he twists every one of the verses.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I go back to my Bible on the phone, and I pull it up, and I pull about four or five verses before,
and after,
and I copy it and then send it. I don't say a word of my own opinion.
Yeah.
Right.
This is what you said it says. This is what it says.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I put about 12 of those. Just chased everything that he had to say. Listen, don't twist my God's words.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is what he said. This is it. What does it say to you?
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't even matter what it says to you. What does it say, period?
Well, yeah.
Right? Because my opinion really don't matter.
Exactly. But I don't need to put my opinion.
Amen. In. Yep. Absolutely.
If this is Spirit-filled, what's the Spirit saying to you?
Yes.
Whether he's calling you or whether you're a believer and he's changing your mind.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so, putting on to be strong in the Lord, you've got to humble yourself. Confess that you're weak. It's good to come to the Lord with no knowledge at all. God, I don't know. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief, right? We've gone over those things when Jesus healed the boy that had the demons and all that kind of stuff. His father believed. The disciples of Jesus couldn't do nothing before him. So he brought him to Christ himself, and he said, listen, your boys here have been trying to do this for a while. They can't do nothing with it. And he asked Jesus, I believe. Jesus said, if you have faith, it's possible. He said, I believe, but help my unbelief. The reality of life is hard to see through the crystal, through the vision of God.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I believe, but what I'm seeing causes a lot of unbelief.
And I think you're right. I think you nailed it. I think we do have this belief in Christ that he, but then there's this thing that holds us back from, well, he can't do that.
Yeah.
Or he's not going to do that.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And there's this, yeah, I believe, but I have some unbelief.
Yeah.
In me.
Yes.
Right. Yes. I believe that God's able to heal, but I don't know if he's going to heal that.
But don't you find as you mature in Christ, as I've matured in Christ, when I used to say it, it's because that's what I wanted. Lord, I believe
yes.
you're going to do this. I have faith to believe. But there was always that, I gotta see
I'm
it to understand.
Back here.
I gotta.
Yeah.
But as I have matured, I find myself saying, I know you've got this. I know he's got this because
yeah.
I have a life of his teaching me. And,
yeah.
and
so the reality of our circumstances does not declare the knowledge of God.
Yeah.
All right? It's the reality of our circumstances. That's what we judge everything because that's what we see, taste, feel, think. That's our reality. But God is outside of our... His thoughts are not my thoughts. His ways are above my ways. Or his thoughts are above my thoughts. His ways are not. Either way, he thinks differently than I do because he sees the whole thing. Yeah.
Just today, I was just sharing with Deb, just in the last couple of days, really, I've been thinking, I wonder if I should go back early. It's hard to not be my own environment.
Sure, yeah.
I love you guys, and I love being here, and I love
but
talking.
I'd rather
but
be in
it's
Alabama.
Hard to go from house to house and not,
yeah.
You know. So I was thinking, you know, I wonder if I should, you know, go back early. And I was sharing with Deb that the Lord, in another area, had also been talking to me in a different place.
Yeah.
But it all came together here because it was get your mind off your emotion, off your feelings, and listen to me.
Thank you, sister. Yeah.
I want you there.
Yeah.
There are people I want you to reach out there to, and there's people that I want to reach out to you. I want you there.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you feel.
Yeah.
And as soon as I said, Father, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been asking. I don't want to live by my emotion.
Yeah.
I don't want to live by my circumstance. I want him. He did it. And
yeah.
praise God. I have an absolute peace now
yeah.
that I'm supposed to be here.
And we've all said that, you know. I everyone here has said to help my unbelief.
Yeah.
And he does help your unbelief by answered prayer.
Yes.
And
mm-hmm.
he's
yes.
building that
yes.
unbelief into belief where you can just depend on.
Well, look at the situation. I'll get right with you, Alan.
Yeah.
Look at that very situation. Jesus cast out the devil, and what did he do? He threw the boy down in the fire right then. He started wailing and gnashing, and so the dad was saying, dude, he's not better. He just got worse.
But he was dead.
Yeah, thought he was dead, right? So in the physical look at it,
yeah.
it got worse, but the reality of the kingdom, he got better.
Yeah.
When we ask God to show us, expect things to look worse.
Yes.
Right. So we're so comfort-driven.
Yes.
Yeah.
yeah.
And what happens is, and I am
yeah.
comfort-driven
oh, yeah.
in a big way. And I know that, and I, you know that. I am a comfort-driven
yeah.
person.
Yep.
And what that does is it ultimately, it puts shackles
That's right.
and chains
yes.
upon you
mm-hmm.
and pulls you down.
Yeah.
It makes your life smaller and smaller
yes.
and smaller. That's the way God works.
And there
yeah.
are
He
believers.
Always stretches it, right?
Amen.
There's believers that really think.
Yeah.
That we should be feeling good.
Yeah.
That we should be. Yeah.
yeah
I have a
prosperity
friend
gospel.
Who is,
yeah.
I have
Absolutely.
A friend who thinks
Absolutely.
That he just wants you
Preach
to be happy.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
it's yeah.
I mean it's bondage. That
yeah.
comfort
yes.
drive is a bondage
mm-hmm.
drive.
Yes.
Yeah, because if it doesn't feel good, it can't be God.
Yeah.
You know, we always go to Job. We'll ask Job about that. Well, no. How about Dave? He's
right.
on the computer right here. Ask him about that.
Very good.
All right. He's been 2 months in the bed. I spent some time with him this past week and talked to him, you know, and to sense the power of God in that man, in his situation. Dude, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. Because when I look at him with my eyes, I see somebody who's in a bad shape. But the Spirit in me, as it connected to the Spirit that was in him, I saw victory in Jesus Christ. Not by my will, not by his will, but by the will of God, using a man of God as a tool in the hand of God in a very uncomfortable situation.
Yes.
But God, right? But God. So this putting on the Lord, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Being strong in the Lord is not surrendering to the circumstances of your present trial. All right? Being strong in the Lord is not being under the circumstances of your present trial. The trial is just something that God's going to see you through. Faith is what gets you from the trial that you're in to the victory on the other side. And not losing your faith is the thing that will prove the holy might, well, and the power of his might. Your faith, walking with God through the circumstances, before you put on the armor, all right, you think, and see, I've been taught this whole time, you put on the armor and you'll be able to do this. But if you do that, you're reading the scripture backwards. All right? The first thing you got to do is trust God. With how much? All of your power, all of your might. Not portions, not part, not a little here, not a little there. 100% faith. And guess what? I'm not there. I'm not there. I'm not Moses. I can't see the army, the Pharaoh's army coming in, and the people trapped by the sea on the other side. And I say, stand still and see the hand of... In fact, he says, move closer to the water. Move closer to your death, right? Because when you move closer to your death, then you'll find life. When we surrender to the might of the Lordship of Jesus Christ, when we really surrender to that, then we can start to live.
Reckon yourself.
Yeah. Thank you. Come on with that. Reckon yourself dead. I've been crucified with Christ, and nevertheless I live. But not me, but Christ that lives in me.
I think about Paul in, I think, Colossians 3, where he said, ye are dead. Ye are...
There it is. Okay. Colossians 3, 1, actually it's 3 through 10, 1 through 10. But put on the new man. Set your affections... When we set, what does it mean to set your affection, before I give you my opinion? What does it mean, set your affection on something?
Your love.
Your love.
Yeah.
A personal love.
Yes.
Affection suggests it affects you. It's a relationship that has an impact on you.
Yes.
Adoring.
Yeah.
Right. Well, your new grandkids.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
3 weeks ago, 4 or 5 weeks ago now, you didn't know.
Right.
You didn't know. You had no affection toward them. When you saw them, what happened?
Immediately.
Yeah. Immediate affection.
They love me and I love them.
Right.
Yeah.
It's immediate.
Real.
Yeah.
It
it's a wild thing. And it's not a fluffy, fluffer nut kind of love. It is a deep-seated, internal thing that happens.
I think all nature is so given to sin
and
so corrupted. That's Colossians 3:3, by the way.
Yes.
Says, for ye are dead.
Yeah.
Your life is hid with Christ in God. So I think that everything in this world, everything in us, ultimately we're hid in Christ. He melts it.
Yeah.
He burns it, and it's new.
Amen.
Because because that is corrupted right now. We're all corrupted.
Yeah.
You know.
We
got to reckon ourselves dead.
What does it tell us in Isaiah? We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. No, not one. There's none that seeketh after the Lord. No, not one.
Sparks fly upward.
Amen.
That's me.
We're none of us are there, but we all need to strive to get there.
We are in the process of being molded by the potter.
Yes.
We're not done yet.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't been put in the kiln yet.
Yeah.
We're in the process of it.
And when the potter finds something, a hard piece of clay, that if you put it in the kiln, it's going to explode.
Right.
What does he do? Well, he crushes it. He pulls out the bad part and he remolds it. That you can be fit for the potter's hand. Go ahead.
That's putting the armor again, the righteousness. That one's righteous. That's why we have to put it on.
Yes.
That's right.
And mm-hmm. we have to get conformed to it. The thing is not going to move.
You're right.
You're going to squeeze.
Yeah.
You're going to
squirm.
Look like abs.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, and the thing is, that's what we were designed to do. It
yes.
feels so strangers because we are carnal.
Oh, thank you,
we have a carnal mind.
Yes.
But that's the relationship we were designed to have.
Yeah.
We were designed to wear this,
mm-hmm.
but our sin nature pushes against it.
Our
right?
wants.
Yeah.
New God, be a new creation.
Well,
yeah. And that's what we were designed for.
Colossians chapter 3, right, starting in verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. Verse 3. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, who is he?
Our life.
Right.
If you are risen with Christ. Jesus is our life.
He gets it all,
right? And when he appears, we shall be with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, the members which are
there's
upon the earth.
There's your dead.
Yeah, there's your dead. All right, so before we start putting on Jesus Christ, we've got to mortify some things.
Yes.
We got to mortify our thought process. We've got to mortify that thing with Tucker Carlson and food and stuff like that. We've got to stop eating bleached, enriched flour.
Right.
And the thing is, it's sanctification, right? So it's a gradual process. So what I put off when I was a new Christian is different than what I put off now.
Yes.
Because I didn't understand back then.
Amen.
I thought I had put things off, but I had other things that in time he would show me. He would go through, I'd go through sanctification. I am going through sanctification.
We all are going through sanctification, through trials. Through troubles in our life, through the determination and the push, the desire to die to the old man.
Submit. I think you just surrender.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think you can do it by your own
Mm-mm.
muster or your
no.
own energy.
When you
got determined to do it, though.
Let's go back to the sacrificial system for a little bit. And I've talked about this before. If, all right, every day I had to make a morning sacrifice, and I had to make an evening sacrifice. And I had to take the best, the thing I loved the most. And I had to bring it to the high priest of the moment. And my job was to take that, and I would pray and lay my hands and confess my sin on that beast. And then the priest would take that beast. I had to tie it to the altar. The brazen altar. I had to do that. I had to pray for the family. I had to confess my sin. I had to lay my hands on it. And then the high priest, he would slice its throat and drain out its blood. It had to die. A real, brutal, bloody death. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin.
So much for the prosperity gospel.
Yeah.
Yes, for that.
Yep.
So, if I'm going to surrender to God, I need to mortify my flesh.
It
if I am
pretty.
Risen with Christ,
it's not pretty either.
No, it's not pretty. It kills you, Kevin.
It hurts, man.
It kills you. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, so when does the reward happen?
At the end.
That's
right.
After you die. So I need to practice death. That I might live with Christ.
Right.
I need to practice death every single day of my life.
That's right.
Practice it, because there's coming a real day.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And
Alan.
That's why Job was tested as much as he was. He did that every day for his children, not knowing where they were.
Yeah.
That's right.
Every day.
And that's why we're told not to love the world.
Amen.
You are to die to this world that you can inherit the kingdom.
Right. There's nothing here for us. Now, and again, when we said that, remember what we're talking about before. What we're seeing, what we're smelling, what we're tasting isn't real.
Right.
Amen.
It isn't real.
Amen.
Right.
It isn't the whole, all in all. If we are in Christ, if we are risen with Christ, I am seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus, who is in God the Father. Like those Russian dolls, you know, the ones that have the same guy on the inside. But to get there, I must desire the death of my will, that I might fulfill the will of his death.
Seeing we're in the election season, occurred to me driving around not too long ago that God's election is absolutely the opposite of ours.
Yeah.
The king elects us. We're going to elect a leader.
Yeah.
But the big selling point a lot of our leaders do is American dream, in love with this world.
Yeah.
You know, they sell you the dream.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And the clinging to this earth, and you can get caught up in that. Whereas if we're focused on conforming to the image of Christ, the armor of God, dying to ourselves, we're hoping to be elected by the king of life.
Amen. He chose me. I didn't choose him. He enables me. I don't enable him. He gives me faith. I don't give him faith.
He tells me what to do.
He tells me,
tell him what to do.
Amen. That's why I don't like being called pastor. Call me sheepdog.
Right.
You know, Fido. That's my name. Right? And that's what we are. We're not the head of anything.
Right.
We're the foot.
Yeah.
You know, or less. I'm just a callous, an ingrown toenail. You know, I'm a painful little guy.
When the head says turn, go that way, the body goes with it.
Mm-hmm.
When the head says go that way, the body goes with it.
Now, we've said all of this with our lips. What are we going to do with our life?
I'm going to go back to how this started.
Ah, come on.
Without the Spirit, you have no. So the book of Revelation talks about seven horns, seven eyes, seven lamps, and he calls them the Spirit of God, the eyes of the Spirit of God. You have seven things being mentioned here in Ephesians 6.
Right.
The feet, but it starts with the Spirit,
right,
and it ends with praying in the Spirit,
right.
So that's the same Spirit. You have to have that first. Isaiah 11, as we know, says, talking about
seven
Jesus Christ,
spirits.
Says the Spirit.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord.
Yeah.
So you have seven things there. Seven is completeness. It's not just holy completeness, because there's a seven on the other side.
Yes.
Right? So it's completeness, but it's the Holy Spirit completing. That's the sevenfold work of the Holy Spirit in the believer.
Amen.
Ephesians
6. Amen. While you're speaking last, close so we can get the rest.
Father God, you're amazing.
Yeah, amen.
You are amazing. You're wonderful. I just thank you, like we've said before, to not forget what we've been dug out of.
Mm.
The Lord, that you have taught us truth, and you have brought us to this point, and you will never leave us, Lord. But it is our responsibility to abide. It is our responsibility to put on armor.
Mm.
We play a role in it, Lord. But you are the head that tells us what to do. And we bow the knee to you. And I thank you, Father God, for meeting us here in this little corner of the earth on a bunch of people that just want truth and want to draw nearer and nearer to you. I pray, Father God, that you would put a hedge of protection around each and every one of us, and that we would put away our dirty, filthy little sins and inabilities and just totally trust holy in you, leaning only on you, reading your word, us speaking to you in prayer, and you speaking to us in our heart through the scriptures. I'm just amazed at you, Father God, and I do pray that you would use us to reach lost people and to reach people that are being taught lies. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so, in all that we read today, we only did the first couple words, put on the Lord Jesus. So we spoke for an hour, over an hour, on Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, put on the Lord. Okay. We'll finish the rest of the In the Power of His Might next week. Amen.